Dr. Robert J. Lifton is a psychiatrist who has written extensively about the extremes of war. He's written books about Hiroshima survivors, Nazi doctors, the unique anxieties of the nuclear age, and apocalyptic global terrorism. He's currently a visiting professor of psychiatry at Harvard Medical School. We've been checking in with him every few months since the attacks of September 11th. We called him this morning to talk about the impact of watching the war on TV. Dr. Lifton, what are some of your thoughts on how Americans have been affected by watching the war on television?
I think that Americans have been very confused by watching the war, and they've had a lot of conflicting emotions. Maybe the strongest, consistent emotion is a kind of fascination. Yet most people I talk to are torn between that fascination, watching the war, and a certain kind of revulsion or horror and a wish to turn away. A number of people make pledges not to watch the television, or at least not to watch it very much, but they find themselves returning to it. So I think Americans are torn and conflicted by what they're seeing.
I was taking a cab ride the other day, and the driver was talking about it kind of like, you know, kill the Iraqi kind of thing. You know, like he seemed to be taking a certain amount of pleasure in the Iraqi deaths. And I don't think he got the point that the purpose of this war is supposed to be not only to find the weapons of mass destruction, but to liberate the Iraqi people. The military is trying really hard to not have Iraqi civilians. But I think some people are just so used to, like, you bomb the country that's the enemy, and when they kill people, that's good. Do you think that there's some kind of almost confusion among Americans about how to react to civilian deaths? Because, I mean, the country, per se, is not our enemy. It's the regime.
That's right. In a way, war obliterates distinctions, and that's what we're experiencing. So that even though our American leadership makes a distinction between Iraqi leadership, Saddam Hussein, and those who have been around him, and the rest of the Iraqi people, many Americans watching the television can see all Iraqis as the enemy. This also is involved with our so-called war on terrorism. We identify terrorists, but we also identify terrorist nations, as we have identified Iraq, and that becomes confused in American minds, and for those reasons, the Iraqis are labeled as enemies, one and all, and we're to take delight in killing our enemies. That, of course, is a very unhealthy kind of emotion stimulated in Americans that this war brings out.
Are you concerned about how Americans handle victory in Iraq?
I'm deeply concerned about how we handle victory in Iraq. The triumphalism that has been displayed on the media by journalists, especially television journalists, is really disturbing because they behave as though this is a glorious moment in American history and especially American military history, as opposed to what I take to be the truth. This is an example of the world's most powerful military machine overwhelming a rather small and rather weak country. It is not a moment of glorious victory. It is a moment for many of us of shame. But in any case, the impulse toward triumphalism is there every day, almost every minute on the television, and I think it's profoundly harmful to us ethically and psychologically.
How?
It's harmful to us because it makes us callous. It reinforces our most aggressive impulses, and it asserts that we are in the right in killing so many people, and that there is something glorious and fine and noble in this war. And it gradually has the danger of transforming us into a callous, aggressive people and taking us away from what America has always stood for. And that has to do with genuine democracy and fairness and concern and compassion. This is the very opposite. And to rally round military victory at the expense of all these human lives is against everything that's fine in our tradition.
Nevertheless, when you see scenes of You know that warehouse where they found, like, body parts stacked up?
Yes.
When you see scenes like that, do you think, well, you know, even though you oppose the war, do you think maybe this war wasn't such a bad idea? Look at the kind of torture and mutilation that was going on under the Saddam Hussein regime.
In a way, the administration claim and its policy has benefited from Saddam Hussein's character. He has been an evil dictator. There's no doubt about it. He has killed many people. He has been murderous. He has stood for egregious policies of killing and torture. To that extent, some Americans can take solace as they see Iraqi people freed from this kind of domination and this kind of threat that they constantly live under. But whether that can justify in their minds, in our minds, this overall war making is another matter.
Although you oppose the war, have you been impressed with the military's restraint in terms of its precision targeting with the bombing, in terms of trying, you know, very hard to minimize the casualties of civilians?
I think that the military has tried to minimize the casualties among civilians. But on the other hand, when it has had an objective that it considers a military objective, it has not hesitated to use very, very heavy bombing, which has to kill a lot of civilians. So although I'm aware of that restraint, I have to say that I'm more impressed with the very large numbers of people who are being killed. I don't know the numbers, but they have to be in the tens of thousands when one includes the Iraqi military, who are mostly conscripts and not terrorists on the one hand, and above all, Iraqi civilians. So yes, there has been an attempt to limit the deaths of civilians, but many, many civilians have been killed.
After the fighting stops, the next step is that an interim authority is created in Iraq, and until Iraq, you know, can really stand on its own as a democracy, the United States is going to have some responsibility for that country. What have you been thinking about regarding how that responsibility is going to change us as a country, or, you know, just affect us, affect the national consciousness of the country?
Here I fear that the American need to control that process, as opposed to internationalizing it, will be really harmful and self-defeating. Because if we don't internationalize it, if we don't bring in the UN to play the major part in this process of transition and the long-term rehabilitation of Iraq, then the government will have no legitimacy and our motives in Iraq will have no legitimacy. But beyond that political policy, I worry about us as a people in the future. I worry a great deal because we run the danger of becoming increasingly numbed with diminished inclination to feel the pain of others as we inflict our military on the world and set up a new government in Iraq. Will that turn us into a callous people? Are we changing in terms of our traditions of genuine compassion and true democracy? Are we becoming bullies in the world, and are we, as ordinary Americans, joining in that process? And in a way, are we not responsible for it? So I worry about our psyches and about our souls.
But that gets to the fundamental difference about how this war is viewed. You're worried about us becoming bullies, but the people who support the war are feeling very good right now and see themselves as liberators of people who have been very oppressed. I mean, that's like the fundamental difference here. Are we bullies or are we benevolent liberators?
Yes, you can look at the events on the screen or in your newspapers and have two very different narratives in your understanding of them. One is, as you said, the narrative of those who are making the war, that we are liberators, we are bringing democracy to Iraq and to the Middle East in general. The other narrative, which I think is the more accurate one, is that we are bullies. We have a plan that's been in place for at least 10 years or longer to dominate the Middle East and to take over Iraq, an impulse which developed right after the first Gulf War and which was expressed immediately after 9/11, and that this is a model of approaches to other countries, either because they seem to be opposed to our interests or because there's some danger of their acquiring weapons of mass destruction. I think the evidence really suggests this second narrative, and that's the way people who oppose the war see these events on television, and it's one reason why they're so painful for us to watch. We don't see the process as leading to a compassionate outcome. We see it as part of a bullying policy all through the world that's dangerous to the world and dangerous to us as Americans.
Do you think that these two narratives will continue to define America for a while, the bully versus the liberator narrative?
I think these two narratives will continue to define America. I think it's going to be hard to sustain a pure liberator model just because of everything that's going to transpire about who controls what in post-war Iraq. Moreover, post-war Iraq may not be entirely post-war. There could be guerrilla warfare or suicide attacks and certainly extreme unrest all through the Arab world. But certainly the narrative of the bully, and it's more than just a bully, it's a whole psychological projection of not only military domination of the world, but of control of events, of control of history. And we can have that projection because we do have such an extraordinary amount of military power. What I think is forgotten in this, and it's part of this second narrative, is that any effort to control history, any effort to be dominant in the world, has to fail. And the failure could bring enormous pain, not just to the rest of the world, but to us as well.
Dr. Lifton, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Dr. Robert J. Lifton is a visiting professor of psychiatry at Harvard Medical School. His latest book is called Destroying the World to Save It, Om Shinrikyo, Apocalyptic Violence, and the New Global Terrorism.